Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Let's get it.
Tim crushes this ball. He throws the bat. The ball goes flying. It is gone.
Under the hood, behind the scenes, nobody really sees.
Four runs. Right in the air deep. Is it enough? It's gone. Ball game over.
Hey, I'm hot.
Jonathan Hood.
I'm hot.
Trubisky. Robinson. Allen Robinson. Touchdown, Bears.
Back with the interception. And Mack will take it all the way in for a touchdown.
A lot of this is behind the scenes or under the hood.
To Markkanen. Oh!
He didn't come for the massage. He came for the fight show. Oh, baby.
Woo! Jonathan Hood.
Oh, man. Put a body on that man, please.
Breaks the hole. Swift got running room. Swift got to go. 30, 20, 10.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
I'm the man.
Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up, what's up? And welcome in. You're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app with open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. It's the telephone number. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweet J Hood. On Instagram, IG J Hood, as we broadcast live from our first Midwest Bank Studios. On the program tonight, we will hear from Mark Tauscher, Super Bowl champion with the Green Bay Packers, now a talk show host for our sister station ESPN Wisconsin. We will find out from Mark, a friend of the program, his thoughts about Meat and Cheese Week because it starts today. Meat and Cheese Week because it's Bears and Packers as we count down the days and the hours to Bears and Packers on Sunday. So we talk to Mark Tauscher coming up at 8:15. We'll hear from Jesse Rogers, who covers the Cubs for ESPN.com. We'll hear from him live from San Diego and get his thoughts on what's going on with the winter meetings as we heat up the hot stove with Jesse coming up at 8:30. Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. Also hear from friend of the program, two-time Super Bowl champion, Chicago's own Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network will be with me coming up at 9:05. And also, oh man, if it's Monday, you know, some will look for the silliest thing of the sports weekend, the smartest thing of the sports weekend, the funniest thing of the sports weekend. Here in Under the Hood, we look for the pettiest thing of the sports weekend.
I'm just being petty.
Petticoat Junction.
We always try to put people on the petty train because there's so much pettiness in sports. So we put them on the petty train. It is Petty Junction coming your way later on tonight.
Petticoat Junction.
Let's put them on the train. And if time permits, we will have give you a little bit of a Bulls-Raptors postgame, if time permits, later on in our show right here on ESPN 1000. As I keep you company until 10 o'clock, then it's Dan Le Batard and Stu Gotts right here on ESPN 1000. All right, Sean, let's talk a little bit about the NFL and the Bears at the same time. I think we could do both, right? So let's compare the Bears to the best of the best. So yesterday, I don't know what you did on your Sunday. I know for some, you could always fool your spouse, especially if she's not into sports, and you say, oh, you know, whatever you need, honey, Bed Bath & Beyond, and you know, you have a little wine tasting, a little cheese, want to go to the in-laws, want to do a little Christmas shopping? Sure. If you're not into the NFL, you're just into the Bears, it's a great day because now your spouse is like, oh, well, you're going to give up your NFL son. Ah, yeah, it's fine. Especially if you're not watching the rest of the NFL because maybe she doesn't know that the Bears already played on Thursday and they're not going to play again until this upcoming Sunday. But for me, in the Hood Cave last night and all day yesterday, I spent time watching the NFL on my off day. And I watched the NFL because the reason why I watched the league is because it gives me a great opportunity to scan and survey the entire NFL landscape. We know the good teams and we know the bad teams in the NFL. But the question always is, for me, as a Bears fan, it's never about what are the Bears as a singular entity. When I look at the NFL, and when I watch the Bears, I look at the Bears in the prism of everyone else in the NFL. I can do that because it's one thing to root hard for laundry, rooting hard for your favorite team. But it's another thing to really take a realistic approach and a great outlook at your team versus the rest. When we see the Bears, we know what the Bears are. But what about these other teams? Like, for instance, in the NFC, the San Francisco 49ers are 11-2. Watch that game yesterday. There was no bigger winner than the 49ers in Week 14. Kyle Shanahan pulled out all the stops. They piled up 516 yards in their 48-46 win against the Saints. I'll tell you what, late in the season, nobody does it like the NFL. I'm going to tell you right now. This is a college football fan you're talking to, right? There's nobody does it like late in the season. We got 49ers and Saints, and that matchup takes place. Take your hat off. That's what you want. Yeah, it wasn't a great defensive battle. Point is, though, is that you had two of the upper echelon teams in the conference, the same conference the Bears are in, and you saw the 49ers entering the week as the fifth seed, but their win and the Seahawks' loss, San Francisco vaulted to the number one seed just from that one game yesterday. And so watching the 49ers, you take your hat off, you say, well, where are the 49ers versus the Bears? Well, they have Jimmy Garoppolo, a quarterback that I know that I enjoy watching out of Eastern Illinois, back up to Tom Brady and the Patriots for a long time, now really be able to have a real great connection with Kyle Shanahan, the head coach for the 49ers. So when you see the 49ers, they seem like, boy, they seem like they're head and shoulders above the Bears because the quarterback is there, the offense is there, and again, 48-46, could you imagine? Sometimes it takes three games for the Bears to get 48 or 46 points. Shows you where those two teams are. How about the Packers? Bears play the Packers on Sunday. Now, that game, I watched that game as well. Packers, they have not looked special offensively the last few games. It wasn't a pretty win, but it's a win. I'll tell you this. I don't know who had the Packers winning 10 or more games, but you should cash that ticket now because I remember us talking about the NFC North in the summer. And I said the Vikings should be once again in the mix for the playoffs, and so should the Bears. Wasn't sure if the Green Bay Packers would have 10 wins, but here they are with a 10-3 record. Which goes to show you, no matter who is the head coach for the Green Bay Packers or the personnel around Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, you just never know what you're going to get. And what you're seeing here is not a great win, but it's a win nonetheless because it's so hard to win the NFL against Washington 20-15. The Packers went up 14-0 in the first quarter, but only managed two field goals the rest of the way. It's good for the Packers because it was Washington, and they have a hard time moving the football. How about if we compare the Bears to the Saints? We just talked about the 49ers, right? That game against the 49ers. The Saints are 10-3. Saints fans will probably have zero interest in hearing this, but here's the thing. Even with the loss, they can finish no lower than the third seed. So they're going to be in the playoffs too. But it's up to that offense when you see Drew Brees and you see the type of offense they throw out there. Boy, it is fun to watch. Yeah, you wish every team had a Taysom Hill. Could you imagine if your favorite team, no matter who you root for, Taysom Hill, have you seen him? Taysom Hill can play special teams. He can quarterback. He can run the football. He can be a wide receiver. He can return kicks. He does everything for them. Could you imagine having just a guy that you have on your roster and you just list him as athlete? Because there's no position for Taysom. He does it almost everything well for that Saints team. And they were fun to watch. And again, that matchup against the 49ers. We talk about the Bears versus the NFC on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. So out of the three teams I mentioned so far, the Bears personnel, and I know it resonates in my head about how the Bears played against the Cowboys because that was the best offensive performance we've seen from Mitch Trubisky and the offense so far this year. I mean, it was tremendous. But you compare what the Bears do on a regular basis to the 49ers. It's not close. See what the Bears do against the Saints. It's not close. We already saw Bears Saints. We know what that looks like, right? And then it's the Packers. Packers are not exactly where they need to be offensively. But as you well know in this rivalry, it hurts, right? But you know what this show is about, honesty, right? The Packers are the hammer. The Bears are the nail. No matter how long and how old and crusty this rivalry is, The thing that you and I both know is that the Bears have not had that sustained success, that momentum, like the Ditka years of getting, just pounding the crap out of the Packers. Just haven't had it. Just haven't had it. A win here or there under Lovey, win here or there, I guess, with some other coaches, but just not enough to say, yes, the Bears have been able to arrive against the Packers. It's been like this for generations. How about a fourth team? Compare the Bears to the Cowboys. Now, we just saw this game on Thursday, right? Now, the Cowboys are 6-7. And the Cowboys fans feel really good about their team, even though they're 6-7. The Eagles are 5-7 coming into this game tonight. So the Cowboys went down to the Bears on Thursday night, and they have dropped 3 in a row. They host the Rams in Week 15, then travel to Philadelphia for what could essentially be a division championship game hosting Washington to close out the season. Are the Bears better than the Cowboys? Well, they were Thursday night. That's because all the stars were aligned for the Bears offensively. Offensive line was tight. Trubisky was able to roll out of the pocket. He was able to have a running game. He had everything going for him. And the defense was not a plus, but the defense was good enough. And it's still, even from Thursday night, a head scratcher, like how Dak Prescott and the offense could not connect. And again, this is not some trash defense I'm talking about. The Bears defense is opportunistic. They're very solid. They're not what they were last year, but they're very, very good. Very good. Especially in the secondary. But yet, the Bears and the Cowboys, you saw what happened on Thursday, right? This Cowboys team is underachieved so much that if they played again, the Bears could win again. Because I don't recognize this Cowboys team. I don't understand why this team is not in the top of the NFC, but the Bears did what they had to do on Thursday. So compare the Bears to the Cowboys. In your mind, are the Bears better than the Cowboys? How about the Seahawks at 10-3? A win Sunday night against the Rams, they would have gone into Week 15 as the top seed in the NFC. But the Seahawks defense got lit up. Because of the 49ers' win, Seattle drops all the way down to the fifth seed. The good news for the Seahawks is that they'll win the NFC West if they win out. Seahawks, no matter what you saw on Sunday night, still a formidable team. And they're well coached, and their defense is solid. And Russell Wilson, we get so – and I don't know if it's just these TV talk shows or I don't know what it is, or maybe social media. We tend to not appreciate what's right in front of us. And I know that there's a lot of conversation about Lamar Jackson, and it's not hype because Baltimore quarterback Lamar Jackson is special. There's no question about that. Now, how special, I don't know. I'm not going all the way over the top. I don't have Molly Kiram next to me to be able to tell her that for sure he's going to be MVP. I'm not doing that. What I'm saying is that the young man continues to build on his success, and I appreciate that. See, here's what we do with young people. As soon as you see something new, then you push that person to the moon. And if they underachieve just a little bit, then they're trash. I can't do that. I can't do that with young players. What I'll say is that Lamar Jackson continues to climb, and he continues to just let people talk, and he just continues to get better. He lets all of the pundits do what they do, let Tim Ryan say what he has to say about his skin color, and he just continues to play well. But the point I'm making is that Russell Wilson seems to be forgotten about. Russell Wilson is still a damn good quarterback in this NFL, and he could probably lead Seattle to some places. Are the Bears as good as Seattle? I would say they are not, based on the offense of Russell Wilson. Is the defense better than Seattle's? I think so. But just think about Russell Wilson and the offense against the Bears. How about the Vikings? They're right around the corner, right? At 9-4. They are another team that can move up to a higher seed with a strong finish. The Vikings had no trouble against the Lions, 20-7. They're now 6-0 at home this season. They need Green Bay to stumble down the stretch to win the NFC North. The Packers beat the Vikings early in the season, and the two teams face off in Minnesota in Week 16. Are the Bears better than the Vikings? Well, I'll tell you what. Before the game against the Dallas Cowboys, I thought the game against the Vikings was pretty doggone solid. 16-6, as I recall, with that Bears, without even looking. I believe the Bears beat the Minnesota Vikings in that game. And it was as solid a defensive performance as I've seen from the Bears all season. It reminds you of the Bears defense from last year. Wasn't a ton of offense, but I thought it was a really good game until we saw what we saw on Thursday. Are the Bears as good or better than the Vikings? And of course, the other teams that are in the mix are like the Rams, and I've said this ad nauseum now. The Bears should have beat the Rams in Los Angeles. That was a winnable game. I don't know what happened there besides the two missed kicks and the opportunities to score against a Rams team that's still trying to find themselves this year. That's a team that they should have been able to beat, but the Rams beat the Bears on Sunday Night Football. So I'm looking at these teams in the NFC, and I always wonder, when I watch the Bears, I compare them to everyone else in the NFC, and I always wonder, are the Bears as good as the 49ers? No. As good as the Saints? No. As good as the Packers? Well, we're going to find out coming up on Sunday if they can at least split. If not, probably not. Seahawks? No. But are the Bears as good as the Cowboys? Yes. As good as the Vikings? I think so. So my point is that it's not that far away. When you have a quarterback that does what he does on a regular basis, moving in the pocket, utilizing the tight end, running game, using the two-minute drill, even though it's not even 2 minutes, you're just moving the chains quickly, that increases your chances to win offensively. When you look at the weapons for the Bears, there are not a ton of Pro Bowlers on that football team on the offensive side. There isn't. But you know what? If you have an offense that works, you never know what you could see. So when I look at this 7-6 team, yeah, the Bears should be better than this. But this is why last year you need to catch lightning in the bottle, because you just never know, right? It's the NFL. You just never know what you're going to see. You get to 12-4. Your expectations to get to the Super Bowl. You fall short. You go through a ton of injuries this year, holding up at 7-6 and needing help to try to get in the playoffs. And this is where you are. So when you look at that NFC picture, the Bears are in the mix, but you're still not as good as these high-profile offenses. And why did it take until December 9th for us to be able to talk about a great offensive performance from Trubisky? Why is it that it took till now for us to be able to say, wow, that was a really good outing? It's December. It's like, why, how come I'm not talking about this in September and October? How come we're not seeing how he can build on his momentum? Just this is the NFL. This is the NFL. Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So glad to have you in today. So did you see this story about the New England Patriots? It's so funny that I was going to talk about the Patriots, but only in a different way. I was going to talk about Tom Brady. But since this story came out about the Patriots once again getting themselves into hot water, I thought I should probably share this news and we should talk about this. So the Patriots advanced scout was at the Bengals game. Let's see if we can go back here, because Diana Russini had was able to put this on Twitter at Diana ESPN. She's a solid reporter for ESPN, covers the NFL. So it goes back to Zach Taylor's press conference. Zach Taylor is the head coach for the Bengals. A reporter just asked if you could confirm if a Patriots employee was videotaping their play calls at the last game. And the coach said no comment and that they are aware. The NFL league office is investigating per sources. That was a few hours ago. Diana Russini reached out to the Bengals to get more information and a statement on the situation involving this alleged videotaping. Spokesperson says for right now, they are aware of the situation. The league office is aware and they have no further comment. So Diana says that we have more on the Patriots videotaping situation in the Bengals. And then Adam Schefter chimes in and says that Patriots advanced scout was not filming, but being filmed, per a leaked source. He was being filmed for a feature that the team produced called Do Your Job. The video crew was credentialed by the Browns to shoot video in the press box, and their PR person was aware. Diana says she just spoke to New England about the situation. Apparently, this was a very big misunderstanding and lack of communication with the Bengals. The NFL league office has a copy of the video tape, and the Bengals organization has the original. What's on the tape tells the truth. A source tells me, says Diana, that a Bengals employee was watching the videographer, the cameraman who identified himself as a Robert Kraft employee. The Bengals employee kept an eye on that monitor that was shot of the Bengals coaches and staff on the sidelines for the entire first quarter. The Bengals employee flagged media credentials. Bengals security then interviewed the Kraft videographer. This was also taped. The cameraman asked if they could just delete the footage and all could be forgotten. Most play calls are radioed in, some aren't. there are some advantages to filming a sideline of the first-year head coach and the first-year defensive coordinator. So the base play could come through the headset, talking about the adjustment of signals. You know, it's one thing to look at this whole situation, right, and just say, oh, you know, the Patriots are a victim of circumstance, all the stuff that's going on with Deflategate and all this stuff with videotaping. This is not true. This is all not true. And then you see a story like this. Belichick says he has no involvement in the Patriots TV production. The team has never seen any footage and all that. Here's the thing. If it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. It's not just by coincidence that all of a sudden the Patriots are involved in yet another questionable act. Here's the thing. If you are trying to get a leg up on your next opponent because the Patriots are on to Cincinnati after their loss yesterday, you would do this against Cincinnati? You need that against are you in such dire straits that you need to be able to look at anything on any sideline for the Cincinnati Bengals? First-year coach, team's not going anywhere. Are you really serious that you need to be able to look at something on the sidelines? See, here's the thing. If it's a first-time offense, then it's like, okay. But then when you continue to see controversial issues around the Patriots, you just don't turn a blind eye to it and say, nah, that's not true. That's what's happening. No. Here's what happens. When you are in the New England Patriots and you are a team that has had an issue with the commissioner, whether it's Deflategate, with deflating footballs, whether or not you think that's ridiculous or not, or just the whole thing that's going on here by looking at other video that you shouldn't be looking at. Well, I mean, why risk that? If they're trying to take an advantage, why even risk it? I know one thing. It's no way that I'm just going to set it to the side and say, oh, this is not a real story. Yeah, it's a story. Because it involves Kraft and the Patriots, again, trying to get a leg up, as it reads here. All this is right here where the sideline is being videotaped during a game. I mean, you just don't want that. So if you're the Bengals, yeah, you may not feel bad about it because you're a bad football team. But just think about if you are Roger Goodell in the National Football League. You don't want that. You don't want to have to deal with the Patriots again. Now, just keep in mind that draft picks have been stripped from NFL teams since 1980. This has gone back to 2015 when the Patriots, because of the deflating footballs, they had to forfeit picks, a first rounder in 2016 and a fourth rounder in 2017. Now, this is something in 2008 with videotaping the New York Jets coaches' signals on the sideline during a 2007 game. They had to forfeit picks, a 2008 first rounder, because of that transgression. You know, I mean, when you look at this organization going back to 1986, illegal use of an injured reserve list, they had to give up a third rounder back in 86. That was the Super Bowl year for the Patriots during that time. I mean, all I know is that it's like anything else, right? You got a rap sheet and you've done things before and you have this situation here. No one's trying to get, and I know that people in New England always are looking like, oh, you know, they're out to get us. No one's out to get you. No, stop being an idiot. I mean, it's the Bengals, for goodness sakes. I mean, you don't need a camera on the sideline to look at what is going on with that team. Team stinks. You don't need a video for that. So this story just continues. There's a lot of more to this story that I'm seeing here on Twitter. As more developments come out, we'll tell you more about it as we go through our show. But just, I had to share that story with you. Because it's funny, because I had the Patriots written down on my yellow pad as something I want to talk about. What I was going to say before the story came out was, hey, why is it that we in our sports society are ready to turn the page on something that's great? What I was going to say is that Tom Brady, for all of his everything that he's done, Tom Brady, every time you turn on one of these TV shows here, one of these hot take shows, it's as soon as the Patriots lose, Tom Brady's done. As soon as Drew Brees doesn't look like Drew Brees, all of a sudden, well, it's time to go. Anytime that you are seeing now a veteran quarterback that's out there, has been there and done that for a long time, like Aaron Rodgers is a perfect example. Yeah, you put a veteran quarterback out there, as soon as he loses, you know what? I think he's done. Can I tell you something? Tom Brady can play as long as he wants to play. Here's what's happened with Tom Brady. Tom Brady has shut up every barbershop across this country. You know why? Because Gen Xers like me and Davis have made the argument about 80s quarterbacks, the push and pull between Montana and Elway. Maybe throw Fouts in there, throw Moon in there. Talk about great quarterbacks. Tom Brady has quieted every barbershop, every discussion about who the best quarterback is, you know, in their lifetime because of the rings that have been won by Tom Brady. So if Brady wants to be out there until he's 55 years old, it doesn't matter to me. Thing is, though, is that for me as a sports fan, I'm not trying to just sweep off greatness like, you know, he's won too much, too many rings. Let's let him go. Nah, it just shows you where our sports society has gone over the years. Outside of cities like Phoenix and Seattle and Utah and Detroit, for the most part, in those cities, they were tired of Jordan winning those championships because Jordan in Portland, Jordan was winning those titles in those cities. Everybody else was like, yeah, I mean, this guy's got 6 titles in 8 years. You know, he's the greatest in the NBA. Let him continue to win. I know everybody didn't like Jordan. I mean, in this city, yes. But the point is that people were not tired of the greatness. They embraced the greatness. And my whole thing always has been on the air as a sports fan is that I appreciate the greatness that's in front of me, even though if he doesn't play for my team. Now I'm interested in knowing when's the next dynasty going to happen? What's going to happen next? That's all I've ever been. Like, here's Tom Brady. Doesn't play for a team that I root for, but I appreciate his greatness because he continues to reinvent. He's done more with less than any quarterback in my lifetime. It's not like Montana and Elway and Moon and Fouts and Jim Kelly and all these guys that had wide receivers that were Hall of Famers, you know, offensive linemen that were Hall of Famers, tight ends that were Hall of Famers. Here's Tom Brady getting it done with an accountant, with a bum off the street, with a dude that's working at the Walgreens. He's like, okay, run this route, and we're going to get to a Super Bowl. This is what it is. This is what it is. So that was what I was going to say about Tom Brady because I as soon as I wake up this morning, Tom Brady's done because the Patriots lost against the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, no. When the greatness is gone, then where is the next dynasty coming from? I look forward to seeing what it is, but in the meantime, I'm not trying to push Brady out the door. Belichick, yes, but Brady, no. The greatness comes from the player. That's all I'm saying. But all that conversation and those great 80s and 90s quarterbacks that we saw, Davis, we were really enjoyed them, and now Brady shut everybody up. That's the conversation. The conversation's gone now.
And it's amazing how that virus has permeated over to the NBA and Major League Baseball. I mean, the Astros have been really good for 3 to 4 years, and people were ready to get rid of them and their greatness and what they've done. And we've seen it with Golden State at the end of last year when they lost to Toronto. People were ready to write, let's get rid of Golden State. I'm tired of them winning. It's only been 4 to 5 years.
In the NBA conversation, this is where people don't understand that the NBA is based, is the whole NBA is predicated on dynasties. The whole NBA is on about dynasties.
Absolutely.
More so than the NFL, more so than other sports. The whole NBA is based on Lakers win this many championships, Boston wins this many championships, Chicago wins this many championships, San Antonio and in their dynasty kind of, the amount of championships they won with Popovich. But I mean, what are you going to tell you? It's the whole thing with like Brady and LeBron, the same thing too, right? So for you Gen Z people that love to be able to put up memes and make fun of greatness, and so what do you tell your kids? Like, hey, you know, hey, Dad, what was Tom Brady like? I don't know, but I made this great gif of him yelling on the sidelines. Yeah.
Jonathan Hood.
I'm so hood.
On ESPN 1000. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Glad that you're in today. We will hear from Mark Tauscher from ESPN Wisconsin coming up at 8:15. We'll get his thoughts about the Bears and Packers, because it is, my friends, meat and cheese week with the Bears and the Packers. So we'll get to Mark coming up at 8:15 right here on ESPN 1000. Great guest. Good to have him on. to talk about the team he's covering, his former team that he was on, the Green Bay Packers. So we'll talk to him coming up. By the way, coming up next Monday, we have a full show tonight until 10 o'clock, but next Monday I will broadcast live from Mother Hubbard's in River North as we do our Miller Lite football night in Chicago, as I'll be teamed with Prince of Mukamara. We'll be on between 6 and 8. So if you're in the area in River North, come on by to Mother Hubbard's. Boy, Mother Hubbard's over the years, decades of just having my money. It's so ridiculous. I should have a stake in that place over the year. Mother Hubbard's, oh my God. So Mother Hubbard's, I'll be broadcasting there from River North with Prince of Mukamara. So bring your footballs to be autographed. Bring your pictures to be signed. Prince will be with me next Monday during this time slot, as a matter of fact, between 6 and 8, brought to you by Miller Lite. So it should always be a lot of fun for Miller Lite football night in Chicago. So I normally don't discuss the Bulls when the Bulls are on, but I don't care tonight because the Bulls are garbage. And so, this weekend, on Friday night at the Clayton, I'm watching the Bulls at the cigar bar. I'm watching the Bulls in Golden State. And you're not looking for the Bulls to lose, but you just know that they always lose in just weird ways. And I'm just looking up at the monitor on Friday night. I'm just like, oh my God, here we go again. Another loss. And then last night, I don't know that, did you know the Bulls were going to play at 5 o'clock against, in yesterday's game? I don't know if you guys knew that the Bulls were going to play. As it snuck up on me, as I was watching the NFL, I just kind of look over, oh, the Bulls are playing. The Bulls are playing. And the Bulls were in the mix, an opportunity for them to win, and they fell short yesterday. Just like, what? I mean, it is amazing to watch this ball club that has parts I like, but parts don't work together. As they lost to Miami 110-105 as I watched that game. And this kid Hero just continue to shoot the ball well. It's inexplicable how often that Tyler Hero was wide open. He played 41 minutes, had 27 points, 5 for 11 from three-point range. He was just tremendous yesterday's game. TheAthletic.com did a great job of breaking down the Bulls, saying that it's been a very disappointing year for the Bulls, capped off by their second loss to the lowly Warriors in a span of 10 days. It talks about, to be fair, the Bulls 29th ranked offense is the more pressing concern. Sources say that Jim Boylan remains unpopular in the Chicago locker room, which isn't really surprising, given that his tenure began with a near mutiny over his grueling practices and formation of the much-derided leadership committee. Should Boylan survive until April, the Bulls' position in the standings doesn't change. An equally interesting question is what happens to Chicago after the season? And there's so many other things that Darnell Mabry wrote from The Athletic talking about the Chicago Bulls and their growth plate. This is the growth plate era of the Bulls. This is what Boylan always talks about, trying to get his growth plate going. Another game, another strange substitution decision when Denzel Valentine splashed a three-pointer to give the Bulls a five-point lead with 8:47 left. It was his second three of the fourth quarter and gave him 8 points in the second half. Valentine was cooking, and then 15 seconds later, he was subbed out. Boylan made wholesale substitutions with 8:32 remaining, reinserting four starters and Daniel Gafford to replace four reserves and Carter. It was done way too soon, and Boylan always says, I just want to get my starters back in the game and close the game out. Valentine and Kobe White, who nailed two threes in the final 2 minutes of the third quarter, combined for 14 second-half points. This is the last game for the Bulls. And then it is just so strange watching Bulls basketball, because it looks as if Jim Boylan doesn't know what in the hell he's doing over there. It's one thing, I don't worry about sideline demeanor. I don't care that he's clapping his hands and all that. Well, you know what I care about? I care about how this team is going to develop. I'll go back to what I said in October when the roster was done. Let's start there. In October, when the rosters were set, I said, that's funny. Satoransky is a nice player. Wouldn't start for me, but he's a nice Swiss Army knife. Could play three different positions. Cool, all right. He wouldn't start for me, but he's starting for the Bulls. Zach LaVine is a guy that is what I would consider, coming into being with the Bulls, I'll use the baseball phrase, 4A player. And baseball for a player is someone that's not good enough for AAA, not necessarily good for the big leagues, but somewhere in between. That's Denzel Valentine, too, by the way. But anyway, but I think that Zach is a guy that can fill it up and give you the scoring that you're looking for. Chris Dunn, who told me in South Shore when I met him, and over at the Hotel Intercontinental, when I talked to him when he was drafted, I said, how do you think you fit into the NBA? He goes, I'm the best guard in this draft. Best guard in this draft. Went to Tom Thibodeau, got buried on the bench in Minnesota, comes to the Bulls. And again, he's not Etuan Moore, but he's in this Etuan Moore type of role as can do all. I mean, he's done. He can't defend anybody on a regular basis. Like he's out there with starters minutes. Like in the last game, he had 34 minutes and 16 points. It's fine. You'll take the 16 points and 5 rebounds, but you're looking for a stop. That's not – he's not a guy that's going to defend 1-3. That's not who Chris Dunn is. Chris Dunn's a scorer. But he's out there like, you know what? You put Chris Dunn out there. Yeah. You put him out there, you just stop guys. He's stopping anybody. Zach LaVine ain't stopping anybody. Wendell Carter Jr. Wendell Carter Jr., once again, out of position with his 10 rebounds yesterday against the Heat and seven points. I saw him in college, and I saw him with range. He can knock down threes. 0 3-point attempts yesterday against the Heat. Lauri Markkanen had 22 points in the last game in 38 minutes. It took him a while to even get cooking because apparently he's just getting beat down in practice by Boylan as if he's the problem. Well, if anything else on this particular team, you want your young players to have a good, solid mindset for them to be able to help your basketball team. He has size. He has range from the outside. He can do a lot of different things. He's not a finished product, but you don't want to beat him down to the point where you don't put him in the game. You sit him out and benched him as you did early in the season. And he had 22 points. They still lost the game. And then your bench and – again, a disconnect I have with Jim Boylan is him trying to develop 12 players. That's not the NBA. It's barely high school when you think about it. I got to develop this bench. You know, Phil Jackson never developed the bench. Tom Thibodeau didn't develop the bench. He just put them in positions to succeed, the bench mob. They just like, you know what, I need four guys that can be out there to give our starters a blow. And so you guys go out there, and I need you to turn the ball over. I need you to, get turnovers. I need you to hold the lead or extend the lead the best you can. So I don't know any coach in the NBA that would say openly, "I'm trying to establish my entire team." You're trying to develop the best, and you're hoping it trickles down. Your bench players, like your bullpen in baseball, are the worst players that you have, not the best. You can't have 10 guys that are working at the same level, even though sometimes the minutes are all the same. But you don't do that at the same level. As we talk about the Bulls with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Kobe White, I'd love to know if there's any wagers out there of exactly when Kobe White's going to start for this team. Because, I mean, he's out there for 32 minutes. He had 11 points. He's unafraid to score the ball. And so I'd like to know, like, when is he going to start? And quite frankly, he's one of the leaders when it comes to rookies in this league now, even though he's coming off the bench with starters minutes. So I don't know what's happening here, but I do know this. Remember, I'm not going to be the first to tell you because you'll hear this someplace else tomorrow. There's a reason why Jim Boylan is in that chair. He slid his ass 18 inches over from Fred Hoiberg's seat. It's still strange that management for the Bulls will look at what Jim Boylan has done and as an assistant say, you know what, you should be the head coach. Why did they choose him? Jim was never the problem in the years with Fred Hoiberg. How is it that he could just slide over and say, you know what, that's the guy? Jim was never the problem. Huh? The whole coaching staff couldn't be fired. Jim had to slide over because he's the better. You're looking for Doug Collins to Phil Jackson. And what you're seeing is you're seeing Doug Collins to Tark, pretty much. I was thinking of a really horrible NBA coach. So I went with Tarkanian from UNLV when he coached San Antonio. when Tark took over the San Antonio job, he burned through all of his timeouts in the first quarter. And the ref said, you know, you've got 20s, right?
Nobody likes to lose. We're not happy with the loss. I got a frustrated group of guys in there that want to win. That's important. But I have to measure this third youngest team in the league, this young group, in other ways than that. I have to. You want to win. I cannot take away from the good things we do and the growth we're making. But it hurts. If you build it, they will come.
Yep, that's Jim Boylan.
It hurts.
It hurts. Don't let the smile and the nod fool you. It's hurting him. It hurts because he's embarrassed. He's getting embarrassed. He's getting pantsed by all these coaches in the league. That's why. They know what that is. He was a hard ass when he was an assistant coach, and now he comes over and tries to put the smile on and the nod. It started last year. And so I don't know how that locker room has gotten better because Jim's there. And it's just not, it's really disappointing because what it is it retards the progress of what this team could be. You don't hire a coach based on how you feel as a president or vice president of basketball operations. If the basketball guy from the basketball operations is someone that's always on edge, why do you think that coach should be just like you? Shouldn't you have someone different? It's really amazing what's going on. And again, we'll keep our eyes on the Bulls and the Toronto Raptors. When the game goes final, we might have some time for some post-game. We will find out. All right, some thoughts here about the Illinois Media School. As you go to the website, beonair.com. It's beonair.com for Illinois Media School. Or go to the website, 630. Beonair.com's website, the telephone number, 630-916-1700, 630-916-1700 for Illinois Media School. Think about this. If you've ever wanted to be a broadcaster, if you've ever wanted to be behind the scenes or in front of the microphone or behind the scenes in front of the camera, it's a great opportunity for you to learn at Illinois Media School in Lombard. I want you to think about day and evening classes, financial aid for those who qualify. If you've always loved to be in broadcast, but just didn't know how, there might be someone in your family, in your friend, your circle of friends, and say, you know what? You know so much about sports. Why don't you do this for a living? Why don't you become a blogger? Why don't you become someone that's an on-air personality? You can learn to write. You can learn to be able to broadcast. You can learn to be able to be a YouTube star, radio, television. It's all there. You can learn those really interesting tricks to the trade when it comes to Illinois Media School in Lombard. So call this number, 630-916-1700, 630-916-1700, or go to the website beonair.com. It's beonair.com for Illinois Media School in Lombard. Tell them John the Hood sent you. If you're in high school or if you're in and don't know what college you're going to go to, or if you're in college, you don't like your major, but you know you love communications, I really would suggest to you Illinois Media School Lombard, a great place for you to learn. Still to come, we will take a look at some of the best games. This was a great football weekend for college and pro fans. The NFL was great on Sunday. College football was terrific on Saturday. We'll review a lot of that coming up at the top of the hour. Also, Mark Tauscher will be with us, Jesse Rogers, at 8:30, live from San Diego, the site of the winter meetings.
I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock the microphone.
Hey, yo, Jay Hood. Talk that barbershop talk, dude. You're listening to my mans and them, Jonathan Hood, on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We'll go around the college and the NFL last night. Some interesting games this weekend if you're a football fan, so we'll get to that coming up in a little bit. So what is going on with Lizzo? Have you guys seen Lizzo? Lizzo is a singer, and I see this video here. When Lizzo went to a game recently with the Lakers, she had an outfit on that was think about the term assless chaps. There was an outfit where you could see her backside, all of it.
Was she paying homage to Prince?
Or Rikishi.
Good call.
Yeah, the wrestler. And by the way, if it's safe for work, make sure that you look up Rikishi. That's the outfit that she had on. Lizzo shooting her shot with Karl-Anthony Towns of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Spent some time in Minnesota. Who are you cheering for tonight in this basketball game?
Let me tell you something. Both teams are great. I'm personally cheering for number 32.
Karl Anthony Towns?
Mm-hmm.
That's your guy?
That's my baby.
Okay. You know him?
Nope.
Not yet.
New man on the Minnesota Timberwolves. There it is.
Okay, well, it's nice for her to shoot her shot, but I will tell you this. If she was trying to shoot her shot with me, the one thing I would tell her is, like, you know, I would date you, but you go to sporting events without wearing pants. And on top of that, your bare bottom is on a seat that many people have sat on. So that makes you somewhat nasty?
You're listening to my mans and them.
Just some men that's on the mic. And when we rock up on the mic, we rock the mic.
Right? Jay Hood. On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
I mean, I was still...